The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, welcome. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. I teach a happy hour here, alternating weeks with Nikki Murgafiero. Murgafiero. Makes me happy to see you all. So the other day I heard a talk by Jill Shepherd, who will be here at IMC soon. I wish I had the exact date, I don't know. She's a teacher that teaches a lot in Australia and New Zealand and sometimes on the East Coast, but once or twice a year she comes here to the West Coast too, and I think she's a fabulous teacher. And in this talk of hers that I was listening to, she read this poem from an Australian poet named Michael Lunick. And this poem goes like this. There are only two feelings, love and fear. There are only two languages, love and fear. There are only two activities, love and fear. There are only two motives, two procedures, two frameworks, two results, love and fear, love and fear. It's quite something to think about things in those, and that kind of a binary, love and fear. Whereas this pair, love and fear, is different than so many other binaries or dichotomies we may set up, things such as good or bad or right or wrong. And those other types of binaries, this idea is that, okay, you know, abandon one and pursue the other, abandon the bad and pursue the good. But this love and fear is a little bit different. In terms of you can work with fear by loving it. Sometimes the love is a way in which just by cultivating, developing, abiding in, hanging out with, experiencing love is a way in which fear can be diminished. In which fear can be abated, in which our fear can be addressed. So rather than trying to make the fear go away, rather than trying to make it be a problem, can we somehow, and this is not easy, can we somehow recognize that, oh, this is what's happening. This is fear. And somehow to recognize it within as best we can, open-hearted, sense of spaciousness, sense of acceptance, willingness to be with it. So this orienting to love, using love, cultivating love, doesn't mean that we have to get rid of all of the fear. It doesn't mean that there has to be no fear. Instead, we can just be cultivating as best we can this openness, this spaciousness, this willingness to be with what actually is, just so much sometimes loving is the same as actually just seeing, like really seeing. Seeing the person, seeing what's happening, seeing ourselves. I think we all have this experience of sometimes we feel loved when we feel like we've been seen somehow. Either literally or figuratively. In the Buddhist scriptures, the Buddha talks about cultivating loving kindness as a type of protection, both literally and figuratively. So what if we imagine it as a loving-kindness practice as a way to protect us from fear or things that are fearful? Maybe it's a way to help create the conditions in which we can have more courage or whatever it is that helps us with things that are scary. So that's one way that we can think about this loving kindness practice, as a way to make it easier, make it more likely, help create the conditions in which we can experience loving kindness. This poem was about the word love. I'm using the word loving kindness. We could also use words as goodwill, benevolence, warmth, care, respect. All these family of words, you can use one or a group of them, the ones that resonate with you, that make the most sense to you, the ones that feel appropriate for you. So if we don't want to live in fear, or if we'd like to have less fear, maybe we can spend time cultivating love, loving kindness. And in my view, I would say this is one of the greatest teachings that Buddhism has to offer. That is, that we don't have to wait for just the right conditions in order for us to feel this warm-heartedness. We don't have to wait until just the right people are here and just the wrong people aren't here, or, you know, whatever the conditions might be. Instead, we can systematically cultivate and develop loving kindness. So instead of trying to make all of the conditions correct in which we might experience this love or kindness or warmth, the opposite happens. We increase our capacity so that more and more situations it's possible to have this experience of loving kindness, warmth, and care. And our lives unfold really differently, right? If we have this experience of being with warmth, care, goodwill, plants the seeds for something very different than if we're in fear or ill will, animosity, anger. There's a number of ways in which you can cultivate loving kindness. And the way that I'm teaching it today, and for those of you who have been here before, know is kind of the usual way I do it. I can't help myself. I just like it to teach it this way. And this way we use three elements. And one of these elements may be more accessible, more meaningful, more resonant with you. I think that's all of us have one, maybe two, that is feels most... I don't know, maybe that just is easier in some way. This can be helpful to explore and play around with all three elements, but don't feel like you have to have all three of them perfectly set and in a particular form. The first element is to bring to mind someone for whom you're going to... use as an object to help cultivate loving kindness. So we like to start where it's easy, not where it's complicated or not where we're really struggling. The point here is to really let our hearts and our minds get used to that experience of hanging out in loving kindness. Then it just starts to get easier and easier to go back there. So that's why we start where it's easy. So often this is somebody, we sometimes use this word benefactor, somebody for whom that has supported us, helped us, guided us, somebody for whom we have a lot of care and respect and warmth towards. It's helpful to choose somebody with whom you have a simple relationship, which may mean that you do not know them well. If there isn't a person that comes to mind, you're welcome to choose puppies or babies or kittens, or I know somebody who chooses chipmunks and somebody else who uses kittens. So these are well established. Don't think that this is like for the beginners. These are really highly respected teachers who are using these little other creatures. So whatever kind of a being or person that you have this inner smile inside when you think about them. So that's the first element to bring to mind. And that means bringing to mind can mean that you visualize them, or maybe you say their name, or maybe you just have a felt sense of them around. I myself find it a little bit hard to visualize, so I feel it's okay if I just kind of have a vague notion of them. I'm not trying to get a high definition or something like this. The second element is the sensations in the body. We can use our bodily experience as a support. Of course, the body and the mind are connected. And so it might be the case that there's a feeling of warm-heartedness, a feeling of spaciousness, a feeling of ease that arises when you bring to mind this person or when you start doing the practice. We don't have to make this feeling arise, and it's perfectly fine if you don't have a physical sensation associated with it. If you do, allow it to support you. You can like dip into it. Allow it to, that experience to, hopefully it's a pleasant experience. But again, I want to reiterate, there's no requirement for this pleasant experience. And then the third element is to support our intention to develop loving kindness as we'll repeat the phrases. I'll say them and you can repeat after me silently in your mind. In my view, there's nothing particularly magical about these phrases. It's just a way that we use as when the mind starts to drift, the phrase just helps bring the mind back to our intention to develop loving kindness. It's a way to keep us kind of focused on the task at hand. Task at hand makes it sound like it's burdensome. Hopefully it's not too burdensome. So today we'll start with loving kindness for a benefactor, and then we'll do loving kindness for ourselves. And then at the end, we'll do just a little bit of an equanimity practice, which I'll introduce then. Okay, so with that as an introduction, you can start by taking alert, upright posture and a posture that's comfortable. So this, you know, can take some experience to find all these different elements: alert, upright, comfortable, relaxed. You're welcome to lay down if you'd like, sit on the floor, sit on the chair, use different permutations of cushions. And then let's begin with three long, slow, deep breaths. Sometimes it's helpful to exaggerate the movements so that we can really feel them and get connected to our bodies and to this present moment. Then allowing the breath to return to normal, trusting that the body knows how to breathe. We don't have to do anything in particular. And then to support a sense of well-being and a support of connectedness, we'll do a little body scan here. You can check in with the sensations in the head. In the top of the head, the back of the head. It's it's not uncommon to hold tension around the eyes or the jaw. You might explore if just tucking the chin in this really, really small movement kind of like opens up a little space in the back of the neck and allows the spine to be upright. Sometimes that little movement can really support some alertness and uprightness. Allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back. And checking in with the upper back, the lower back. And the chest. So often we kind of armor up during the day. Sometimes we feel that around our chest, or maybe around the belly. It's okay. Sometimes just noticing there can be a small softening. Again, we're not trying to make anything happen. Feeling the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Allowing yourself to feel grounded here, now. You can bring your awareness to your upper legs. Your lower legs. And your feet. Another place where we can feel connected. Grounded. And then the upper arms, the lower arms, and the hands. Then we'll do a little bit of mindfulness of the sensations of breathing to start. That is, you can rest your awareness on the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest or perhaps the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. Whichever is most vivid, most accessible, most pleasurable. Just very simply resting our awareness on the sensations of breathing. Wouldn't be surprising if your mind wanted to continue thinking. It doesn't have to be a problem. Just very simply, with kindness, bring your awareness back to the sensations of breathing. Very simple. Just feeling what an in-breath feels like. Feeling what an out-breath feels like. So this practice of just hanging out with the sensations of breathing can be a support, can be a refuge, can be a place to return if you ever feel overwhelmed or a bit confused or lost. You can always just come back here, experiencing the sensations of breathing. And then to begin the loving kindness practice, bring to mind somebody for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, goodwill, benevolence, respect, kindness, love, loving kindness. And you might check in with the body. Maybe there's a small little opening when you bring this person or lovable being to mind. A small, maybe very, very subtle shift. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, keeping this lovable being in mind, you can repeat silently after me in your mind these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Maybe you could check in with the body and see if there is a little bit of spaciousness, warmth, maybe a little sense of well-being. If so, can allow that to get as big as it would like. We're allowing, not forcing or making, just allowing. Might be helpful to refresh the felt sense of the lovable being. We can go back to the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Then I'll be silent here for a bit. You can go at your own pace. Perhaps using your own phrases. You can experiment and play. Now we can build on this loving kindness, a sense of warmth or care, goodwill, that we've been developing for a lovable being and extend it to ourselves. of course we would include ourselves in wishing loving kindness. So in the same way, you can bring a sense of yourself to mind. A number of ways you can do that. Maybe the felt experience of sitting here right now. Maybe a visualization of yourself as you are now. Or maybe when you were a child or a baby or a younger version of yourself. You can do this in whatever way makes sense for you. And check in with the body again and see if there is a sense of warmth or spaciousness, openness, ease. And again, if so, allow that to support you. And it's perfectly fine if there isn't a particular physical sensation. That's okay. And then for the phrases, we simply change the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. I'll be silent for a bit. And then let's build on that practice and do a little bit of equanimity practice. That is, it can be helpful to stay balanced, kind of stay upright without too much kind of figuratively leaning forward into trying to make people happy and healthy and safe. To support this type of equanimity practice, you can bring to mind somebody for whom you care about, and there's a little bit of tension. Not the most difficult person in your life, not somebody for whom you're really struggling in your relationship with, but somebody for whom you have this real care and warmth towards, but sometimes there's that thing that they do, or whatever it might be. We can bring this person to mind just as we've done before with the others. And we'll use a single phrase that goes like this. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. Then at the end of this meditation period, you can just feel what there is to feel. Be with what's happening in a kind-hearted, gentle way. What's your experience right now? And then to end the meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So with that meditation, I started with just a few long, slow, deep breaths. Then we did just a gentle, easy body scan, a little bit of the mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, just to kind of get connected, and with an encouragement that you can always come back to just mindfulness of breathing. If ever it feels confusing or overwhelming or for whatever reason it feels like not the right practice to be doing loving kindness, you can always come back to this other practice. And then we did loving kindness for a benefactor or a lovable being, then ourselves, then a little bit of equanimity practice at the end. I like to do that because I've to kind of help keep some balance and some uprightness as opposed to too much of trying to. It's easy to slip into, oh, I got to make everybody happy or something like this. So now I'd like to encourage you to get into groups of three, and you can just share, how was that? You don't have to share your deep, dark secrets. You don't have to share anything you don't want to share. But just a general discussion. Was it helpful? Do you find yourself feeling a little bit more open-hearted? Or maybe like, I have no idea what happened. I slept for the whole time. That's okay too. Or, wow, I've learned it another way somewhere else and this is really different. Or I've been doing this a lot and it's comforting and familiar. Or there's whatever there is. Just a reminder, we're not offering advice to each other. Where it's just a way to kind of integrate and explore, kind of like what happened is a way for us to kind of like build on our experience and or whatever that might have been. So if you want to get into groups of three, and then I'll ring the bell in just a few moments. So maybe one person can talk, and then the second, and then the third. I didn't count, so I don't know if it has to be three. If it's okay if there's a group of four, or if I think three or four is a good number. Okay, so would anybody like to share? You could either share, A, what was that experience like, to talk about your meditation experience, or B, did you have some new idea or something that you thought was great or helpful or something you'd like to share? And then maybe I'll also slip in here that I kind of started the session today with this idea that love and fear, right? Maybe I'll read the beginning of this poem again. There are only two feelings, love and fear. There are only two languages, love and fear. There are only two activities, love and fear. There are only two motives, two procedures, two frameworks, two results. Love and fear, love and fear. So we have just a few minutes if somebody would like to share. There's a whole list of things you can talk about here if you'd like. Yes, so can we somehow find its way back to, I guess I'll just walk back here. Here you go, Kumi.
It seems like there is one love, but many faces of fear. It seems like that.
Does it seem like that? Just one type of love?
And no, one, yeah, there is one love and many faces of fear.
Thank you. Anybody else have something they'd like to say? There's a microphone here or there. Leonardo, wherever, yeah. I think you have to turn it on.
It was the first time that I did the equanimity, meditation. And what I was telling the group is that it was very interesting for me because at the beginning is the loving kindness part phrase, and then you say, but I cannot make decisions for you, and the when I was saying the but word, it felt like I was rejecting.
Oh yeah.
So it felt strong. So I instead of saying but. Mm-hmm. I changed it to and.
Yes.
So it was. It felt much more inclusive.
Yeah.
And it felt more grounded and more at peace.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of a person that I care for very much. So it was even the and I cannot make decisions for you. It was made from a place of loving kindness. For myself, in that regard, so that's it was a very interesting experience for me in that sense.
Oh, that's fantastic! Thank you for sharing this. I had that same idea as I was saying this, like, but it felt a little. I had the same feeling. I thought, well, I don't want to confuse everybody and then switch it over to and. So I'll just stay here and allow people to work with it and see what comes up. So I'm so glad you brought that up because I was kind of feeling that too. This, yeah, maybe I should say and instead of but. So. Thank you, that's great. We have like 1 minute. Do you have? Yes, so if that microphone can find its way over there.
Yeah, thank you so much for the practice. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting because I felt my...
Can you bring the microphone like this?
Yeah.
There you go. Yes.
I felt my mind in like 20 places at once. And during the practice, I was in almost a dreamlike state. Just very focusing on my breath and my body. But very much being a part of the guided meditation, which was definitely very unique and the first time I've experienced that during a practice. And it was interesting, as we were sharing, I was noticing how it was the same practice and it's the same teaching, but everyone was experiencing it in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. This is quite something, right? We all have our own, I don't know, our own experiences that we bring to this. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, so it's 7 o'clock. I want to respect your time. I'll stay up here. If some people have some questions they'd like to come up, there, you're welcome to ask me. Otherwise, I wish you a wonderful evening filled with safety, happiness, some health, and ease. Thank you.